Welcome to the College Prep Genius Radio Show, where we can answer all your questions about getting college for free. Today, your host is Jean Burke, the author of College Prep Genius, The No-Brainer Way to SAT Success, and you can find her at collegeprepgenius.com. And I'm the moderator, Felice Gerwitz. Welcome. Well, hi and welcome. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of College Prep Genius Radio, and this is episode 14. You can find more information and the show notes at collegeprepgenius.com/podcast. And today, our host here, co-host, Jean Burke, is giving a wonderful $10 off of her program, and the code to use is the word ultimate, and I will have that link on the website. Just as a disclaimer here, I am an affiliate of College Prep Genius, and if you are not an affiliate, I recommend that you go to the website, and I'll have a link there for that as well, and that you sign up to be one, because if you use her class, you're going to be like I am, and that is a fan, a huge fan of the program, just because I have had firsthand experience with my own kids as well as friends that I recommended this program to. And so with that, Jean, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, I'm excited to have you talk about the math section of the SAT and PSAT tests, which are a little bit different, and also preparing for the day of and the day before. We did another podcast that has the critical reading and the writing section, and you also talked about the most important thing to know in preparing for the test. And so today we're going to launch in just a minute, but I wanted to ask a question from our listeners, and I want to thank you for those questions. Many of you are just hitting reply to the e-zine, as I tell you to do in the newsletter. So if you haven't signed up for the e-zine at ultimatehomeschoolradionetwork.com, you can sign up and you'll get the show schedule every week. And also go to collegeprepgenius.com. A friend came to my house last week, and she happens to have an iPhone, which even if you have an Android device, it doesn't matter. As long as you have a smartphone, you can get a podcast app. And she was saying to me, you know, I want to hear College Prep, and I don't have the podcast app. And I said, you know, girlfriend, you have an iPhone, and it comes with a podcast app. So I said, I had her do it, you know, like, and I said, okay, you know, go find your app. And she found it. And I said, now just start, go to the search and just start typing in college and College Prep. And she did. And hadn't even finished, and there were some suggestions for her. And, of course, our show came right up, and she just clicked the button and clicked follow and was really excited and was downloading. So it's really easy to just listen on your smartphone or go to the website. And did you know you can even download them? If you do listen on iTunes, we would appreciate a rating, and, you know, as one of my other show hosts on the network always says, you know, even if it's not a 4 or 5, that's fine, but just let us know how we can improve. So same here, you know, we hope you give us a 4 or 5, but if not, let us know how we can improve the show, and we'll be happy to, because I've got the, you know, walking, talking machine of college class prep taking and, you know, SAT, GED, GREs, you know, everything, Jean. You've got all those acronyms, and you just really have honed in to, you know, making this a painless, you know, as painless as test taking can be, let's put it that way. So, well, I want to start with a question from our listener from Michigan who emailed back, and she said, am I wasting my time with an eighth grader if the test is going to be changed? And she listened to episode 11, SAT MIP.
Oh, not at all. Test taking is a skill. It's a strategy that work on so many different tests. So what students learn now will not only apply to the existing SAT but also to the new test, the new PSAT. Because when, you know, a company writes a standardized test, they basically follow the same patterns every time, and that's why the same strategies will work on not only, you know, like I said, SATs or PSATs or ACTs. You know, we were blessed to not only throw away 7 trash bags full of college offers on my son's PSAT score, my daughter's SAT score, you know, full rides, free tuition, free room and board, all that. One of the things along the way, and this is all very, very new to me back then, because, you know, I was just really very, very ignorant on test taking, just trying to find a way to get some scholarship money. I didn't realize at that time that colleges went up on their rankings because of their test scores. And so certainly when you have the higher scores, they're willing to roll out that red carpet for you and give you just about anything. But along the way, we started to find out, wow, these kind of strategies also work on AP tests. They work on, you know, subject tests. Ultimately, my daughter went on to receive free grad school because the GRE is written by the same company that writes the SAT and the PSAT. My son went on to get free law school because, of course, the LSAT is just another logic test. Or I've got kids that got free med school. You know, again, you know, if your child's going to go to a med school to become a doctor, they don't know anything about medicine, and that's the whole reason why they're going to school. So the test can't test them about medicine. It must be testing you on something that's very general in nature that anybody can do well on, and that is your critical thinking skills. So yeah, you're definitely not wasting your time at all. I'm sorry?
No, I said very good. I think that's great advice.
And not only that, you know, your kids are going to be being tested the rest of their life. Not just in school, not just getting into college, when they're in college, when they're at their job. You know, I get the privilege of meeting a lot of people, and I've met doctors, I've met lawyers, I've met engineers, I've met nurses, I've met general contractors, who, even a CPA the other day when I was at the Woodland, who come up to me and say, you know, it literally was all about how to take the test. And, you know, again, that's the only fair way to compare people. You know, high schools right now, you know, one child might go to a really hard high school and then another student go to a very easy school, and they can have the exact same GPA. And a college doesn't know that. They don't know which school offers the most rigorous courses. So the only fair way that, you know, a high school student can from one school and another be compared is a test like an SAT. Same way an engineer. I mean, how do you compare this engineer who's, you know, from this state who's got 5 years experience and this engineer over here who's got 20 years experience in those states, and I'm going to give them a test? I've got to be able to have some way to normalize everyone to where anybody can do well. So important to incorporate test-taking skills into your daily school, because what I have found is, because I teach in so many public and private schools, that the average counselor spends maybe 30 minutes per year with each student, and that's generally the change schedule. And so they're so overwhelmed nowadays, and oftentimes they'll tell the students, you know, take your SATs in spring of your junior year, and that's kind of their first even attempt to take a test. So they're kind of putting all their eggs into one basket. And what they're not realizing is, you know, if you just take an average junior, you know, he or she has school and homework and a part-time job, and they play sports and they have friends, and, you know, they're so maxed out right now that the stress level on them to go in there and to take this test and have very little time to improve is really, really hard on them. So when you start your younger kids, and I teach a lot of 6th graders, 7th graders, 8th graders, you know, not only do you have time on your side, by the time that they become a junior, at that point, that taking them is just second nature.
Right, and that's so good to know. And, you know, I have to say that with one of my children, that's exactly what we did, is we waited till 11th grade. And then, you know, at that point, it's really hard to get them to schedule in quite a bit of time for studying for the test. And we've done that this summer, you know, as we're recording this, we're at the end of summer. And the kids have had time to just really hone in on some of their areas of weakness. So, you know, again, it's a little downtime. It's, you know, not super fun to be doing this during the summer, but I keep reminding them that, you know, the payoff will be great if they apply themselves. And I think that one of the things that you encourage, and that's why you encourage parents with younger kids. So thanks, Mom from Michigan, for asking that question. Really appreciate it. And so if you have any questions, you can email me at felice@mediaangels.com or sign up for e-zine just hit reply or contact Jean at collegeprepgenius.com. And they've got a great FAQ on their website as well as lots of information for you there. Jean, let's get going on this. Let's look at that math section. Either math is your friend or it is not. Can you share with us the story? And, you know, as we're recording, I'm not remembering exactly if you shared this on one of the other episodes, but it was what you were sharing with me about going over to China and working with the families there that had requested that you come and work with their kids on taking the test. And you were saying to me, you were sharing with me that, you know, we automatically think that, you know, that whole country just has it down when it comes to math. And you asked the class, do you remember this conversation? You asked them if they liked math. Go ahead. Share that
with
them.
I did. And this was the last time, you know, I've been to mainland China 4 times teaching my program and twice in Hong Kong. And this last time I went back in February of this year, I got to take Daniela, my amazing right-hand person, with me. And we're sitting in the classroom, and I said, Daniela, what's this? So I said, and I asked this question no matter what class I teach at, no matter where I'm at. I said, how many of y'all in here hate math? And literally 3/4 of the room raised their hand. I said, Daniela, take note of this. You know, it's a myth. It's a stereotype. Although many students from different Asian countries are very good at math, it doesn't necessarily mean they're all born with some natural ability. As a matter of fact, it's kind of the opposite. One of the things I think that makes a lot of Asian countries, for example, China, which I've been into 6 times, is that the parents really emphasize how important future jobs are by knowing math, by being good at math. So most of the students that I've taught over there, that, you know, they have their normal school during the daytime, and they often spend, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours with a math tutor, you know, several times a week. So if they're not naturally good at math, if I spent 3 hours a day working on math, I'd probably get a lot better at it too, or piano, right, or whatever. So I think that's that. And I think it's important. So they do end up becoming very good at math, a lot of them, because they literally know the importance of it. So
very good. Yeah, I just thought that was amazing, because we always think, you know, those kids are just really good at it, and our kids, you know, are not. And they had some, you know, secret, and that's the secret, you know, that moms are right there and, you know the importance in the families, not just the moms and dads. So, all right, let's crack this math code. Let's get started. I'm probably going to have to interrupt you in about 5 minutes for a commercial break, but I'll let you get going.
Well, the thing with the math section on the SAT, the good news is you don't have to be a math genius. I think that puts a lot of relief on students. Because you know what? These really aren't even a math. These aren't really math tests at all. They're really more logic tests using the math as the basic medium. You know, you not really having to be, you know, like an Einstein, because the way the questions are written, they're purposely misleading, like I said earlier. And what happens is a lot of times students who are really, really good in math will tell me that the math section of the SAT tends to be their lowest section, even though they're very good in math and they love it, because they tend to work every problem out the long way and showing all their work. So, again, that's going to ultimately result in a lower score, because you only do get about a minute per question. But the good news is every math problem can be answered in probably 30 seconds, 20 seconds, some of them in 10 seconds or less, even without a calculator. So that's very life-changing for students, whether you love math or whether you hate it. So I think that, you know, knowing that, it takes the fear out of a lot of students. Because a lot of times when you do a math class at school, you know, you've got normal questions that are very direct and to the point, very straightforward. SAT math questions tend to be a little bit more devious in nature. They're kind of obscure. They kind of, you know, are tricky, written in a way that you might think you know what they're asking, but really you don't. I think one of the good news about math, another good news is that there's not anything like trig or calculus or college math. You know, generally you're going to have, you know, some algebra, some geometry, you know, a bunch of arithmetic. But again, concepts are kind of disguised with crazy symbols or strange figures, or they're hidden in a story problem. You know, two plus two is four. We know that. But they're not going to give you two plus two. They're going to give you a story problem, and somewhere disguised in that, we have to find the two plus two. So I think setting up the math is the hardest part of the SAT math.
It's just trying to figure out what they're, specifically what they're asking. Is that right?
It is. It is reading the question with a very careful, very critical eye, because it's, like I said, they're very tricky the way they design the question. So you really have to kind of get down, okay, what are you really asking me here?
Yeah, very good, because I was looking at some math prep for the SAT that we had, and one of the things, you know, that is so important, especially when you're doing algebra, is knowing what to do first and do the steps, because I like to look at these problems and do it in my head and then find out, oh, it's wrong because I missed a step or didn't do something in parentheses. You know, I'm trying to outwit my kids because I like math. And so invariably I've skipped a step or something like that. So when we get back, we are going to be talking with Jean some more about the math section, and she's going to share with us some ways to cut off some of that time so the kids don't have to work through every single step of that problem. We'll be right back.
With College Prep Genius, free college can happen to you. That's right. It's never too early to start thinking about test prep to secure your future. Imagine getting free tuition, room and board, free grad school, and more based on your SAT score. College Prep Genius is the key to free. This award-winning, nationally featured program teaches students the logic behind the SAT. You'll learn to answer every question in 30 seconds, raise your score as much as 600 points, and go to the college of your dreams for free. Visit collegeprepgenius.com to know more.
Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of College Prep Genius Radio, and you can find more information in the show notes at collegeprepgenius.com/podcast. At the beginning of the podcast, we gave you a code for $10 off, so be sure to listen at the beginning of the podcast or go to the site at collegeprepgenius.com/podcast and grab that code. This is episode 14. Also, if that code doesn't work, maybe some incentive to keep us on auto dial, if you will, just subscribe to the podcast and you'll get all the new episodes. I had somebody who sent me a note and said, well, I don't have a smartphone and I want to subscribe to your podcast. And that's easy to do. Just go to the website at collegeprepgenius.com/podcast. And there is an RSS feed. So you can just, one is an iTunes and one is the RSS, you can click that and it will go automatically when there's a new show in that feed, and you can access all the shows right there. So lots of ways you can listen and also download them if you would like to your own computer and listen on your time. Well, Jean, we were talking about math, and so, you know, the way that our kids are going to approach this is just like you were sharing in episode 13, that you know, they're going to look at the reading section and think this is, you know, English class or writing class and try to, you know, analyze it and just take way too long, and they don't give you enough time to work through all of the problems, and that's done on purpose. So share with us what you can, some, you know, step-saving techniques and how they can really crack this math code.
Very good, yes. One of the things I think, too, is students need to realize that the goal is not only to minimize mistakes, but to save calculations. Because every time students do more and more calculations, they open themselves up for more mistakes, when basically you don't have to do long calculations. And so one of the things that I teach my students is to see the math and not do the math. In other words, look, take a look at the whole question, even the answer choices all together, and look at it very logically and find out, okay, what is the fastest way that I can answer this question? Yes, I could work it all out. I could show my work. But that would be the normal way. And there's got to be a fast way, and there is. So I think one of the time-saving steps that they can do is when they have a drawing, if there's like a, let's say it's a diagram, whether it's a triangle, or whether it's a square, or whether it's a picture or whatever, first thing is not to take it at face value, just because they give you some sort of drawing. Oftentimes, these drawings don't reflect the actual question, or they're missing some very important information that can confuse the students on what the answer really should be. So the goal is certainly, if the question says that the figure is not drawn to scale, then really it's simply just drawn to confuse the kids. So really they need to look at the question and redraw it correctly according to the question. And they're going to often find out that they'll create something completely different, which will result in understanding the problem and not falling for the wrong answer. So just be very careful. Just because they give you a picture does not mean anything. More than likely, it's there to confuse you. And I think another thing that students don't know is that the math formulas are actually on the test. So a lot of students might get to the test and think, oh, I forgot, you know, how do you, you know, get the circumference or the radius or whatever. And if you simply look on the very front page of the math section, they already have all the formulas right there. So just flip over to that if you forgot them. But another thing, too, and I think, you know, let me talk about in the critical reading section. You know, you can not know a single vocabulary word and still ace the critical reading section. Well, it's very different in the math section. You have to know math terms. Those are crucial. I mean, if a student doesn't know what the word product or tangent or integer is or bisect, you know, they're going to have a very difficult time of answering the question. So you've got to just brush up on your math terms, because the College Board is very, very notorious, you know, for putting a lot of big words in there. And so if you can't, you know, understand the word, then you're not going to be able to certainly answer the question. And I think one of my favorite things.
Let me jump in. Hold that thought. Does your program, because I don't remember, does it have the math terms in there?
It does.
Okay. All right. So is it the parent portion of it or the student?
It's in the textbook.
Okay, in the textbook. Okay. All right. Yes. Continue on.
Well, and that's important because, I give the kids homework to reinforce what they've learned, and I'll say, you know, go in the back and make sure you know all those math terms. Don't freak out because there's a lot of them, because you probably do know most of them, if not all of them. But you need to make sure. I'll give you an example for one of the three terms that students mix up all the time, and that is mean, mode, and median. And a lot of times the students will get to those three numbers. A lot of times students will get to those three words, and because they don't understand the definition, they'll completely get the answer wrong. They might mistake mean for mode or mode for median. So I came up with some very simple acronyms for each one, and I'll give you the example for mean. M-E-A-N, mean, and that is math equations average number. We know that when it talks about a mean, you know, we're going to talk about, oh, that's the average number. Because so many times students will think median means average, but it does not. Median, M-E-D-I-A-N, middle exact digit in between all numbers. So it's the number that's exactly in the middle. So, again, if you don't know math terms, you're not going to be able to answer the question. So it's real important that students know that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. And that does help. And mnemonic devices help, especially if you're cramming, for a test. And so sometimes you may have stumbled upon us at the end of the study period, and maybe you're going to be taking the test next month. But this is great. And the other thing, too, I wanted to tell you, Jean, is my kids listen to these audios. So parents, don't just listen to these yourself and then tell your kids, oh, here, look at my notes. Give it to them, because your kids are pretty savvy and they'll be able to clue in a lot quicker sometimes, I feel. Because I remember listening to one section and I'm taking notes, and my daughter quickly understood it, and then she could explain it to her brother, and vice versa. When they were watching something, and he got it really quickly, and I'm going, wait, I'm still taking notes. And they're like, no, I got we got this part, Mom. So, you know, that is so awesome, Jean. That is so great. So what else? What else do we need to know?
Well, as far as the math is concerned, I think we need to understand that probably you already have all the basic math that you need. Probably by the time that you're in ninth grade, maybe 10th grade at the max. So it's not like it's higher math. And I think one of the things that over the years, because I've met some people who spent, you know, hundreds into thousands of dollars for tutoring and for test prep companies, and they tend to teach the kids, you know, lots of vocabulary words and lots of math concepts and all that. And, again, that is not the key to acing this test. You probably have the basic information already. You just need to understand how to read the question and what's the hidden agenda there in the question of where's the math, how do I set it up. So, again, don't think that you have to go out and learn higher math. As a matter of fact, it was real interesting. When I was in Ohio, I met a lady in the audience, and she said, you know, she was an adult, and she said, you know, I have been trying to pass the GRE for 4 years, and I spent tens of thousands of dollars on tutors, and they literally just keep teaching me more math and more vocabulary. And then she came in and sat underneath my how to ace the SAT, and she was just blown away by what really you don't learn all that stuff. You really just learn the recurring patterns that are found on the test.
Right. I think the key, what you keep mentioning, is understand what they're asking. And, again, you know, so important. I know that the PSAT, they don't have Algebra 2. Is that correct? That is, some of Algebra 2 is
covered
in the SAT. Okay.
That is correct.
So what are the maths on the PSAT? So Algebra 1, basic math?
Yeah, you know, some data, some probability, your basic arithmetic, some algebra. A little bit of geometry. The new PSAT formatting will have a lot less geometry, which I think are going to make a lot of kids happy. So, you know, again, these are, you know, not necessarily testing how smart you are in math. They're testing your critical thinking skills on a math problem.
Okay. And so the same with the SAT, except then they're going to be adding Algebra 2, which really is a mix of Algebra 1 and geometry. So,
right.
You know, if your kids have those down, then they'll, you know, do really well with the that section. And especially, you know, with what you're sharing with us, Jean, that, you know, understanding the components, and one is the vocabulary and then the other is, you know, what the question is. But I was intrigued when you said, you know, you don't really have to have a calculator to ace it. Because that's one of the things, you know, that the kids are always excited that they can use a calculator.
Right. And, you know, again, when you're punching in numbers and if you make mistakes, you got to start again. And you're, you know, you're sitting here relying, you know, on technology when in reality, many of these questions you could answer even faster than having a calculator. And then on the new SAT next year, when in spring of 2016, they will have one section where a calculator is not permitted. So I think that we have to learn that we shouldn't rely on calculators to begin with. We really need to understand that while I literally can answer every question, even if I don't have one, or if I forget it, or, you know, if my batteries run out, or whatever. So, you know, and I think again, it ultimately goes back to the strategies.
No, very. That's very important, and I think that is, you know, another key factor right there. Okay, so we've you know talked about some of the things that we need to know for each of the segments, and of course, it goes into much more detail in Jean's College Prep Genius program. But one of the things I also wanted to talk about today was, you know, preparing the day, you know, before, a couple of days before, and the day of the test, and, you know, how important that is, you know, that a lot of times kids just don't, you know, prepare for this. I know a lot of times that my kids have been in tournaments, and so one of the things that they ask is that all the kids with their family stay at a particular hotel. I thought, you know, really, you're going to put all these, you know, especially baseball boys together, and there's a method to the madness. And one of them is, you know, coaches want these kids in bed early. So one of the coaches was brought his kids with him, and I found out that a lot of people, these were suites, and so they were going to hang out in his room. And I was like, really, coach, you didn't mind? And he goes, no, I can get these kids to bed much, much sooner. So, you know, obviously rest is going to be important, but I'm sure you have a few more things up your sleeve than just that.
I do. You know, obviously our ultimate goal is to lessen that test anxiety that a lot of students have. And so when the students are preparing for the test, you know, one of the things I think they really need to do is certainly create a similar test environment. So that means when you're sitting down and you're putting a fully test in front of you to practice, you know, make sure that you time it correctly, you know, using the same calculators and same watch that you're going to be using on the actual test. So practicing correctly is going to relieve a lot of the stress. But when it comes to, you know, the nearing of the time of the actual test, the one thing you want to do on the day before the test is do absolutely no test prep work at all. You literally need that whole day just to rest your brain. I mean, work as hard as you can up until the day before, and that's fine. But on that day, do nothing. Relax, go to bed early. This is really important. So many times I meet students who they have their schools have prom on the night before the SAT, and I mean they're up to 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. It's really unfortunate. But make a point to go to bed early. If you're taking a test at a school that's not your own school, you know, make sure you have your driving directions. That's really important. Leave early. You never know what's going to happen as far as traffic is concerned. But I think one of the most important things, that's the day of the test. But have the driving directions ready on the day before the test, and then get all your supplies ready. You don't want to be stressing the next morning trying to look for everything. And here's some really important things that note whenever you're putting your supplies together. Number one is you must have your IDs. And nowadays they are requiring 2 picture IDs. So that could be your driver's license and your passport. It could be, let's say your students are younger, they don't have a license, you can go to the DMV and get an authentic ID. You can also, HSLDA, you know, a lot of THSB, a lot of homeschool programs will produce an actual ID for you. So make sure you have those because they're not going to allow you to come in. You know, they're trying to minimize any cheating, and so they need to make sure that you are who you say you are. You also want to make sure.
That, let me jump in. That's really important, and I had just written down the word ID and circled it before you said that, Jean, because let me tell you what happened to my son. So he's 14. Does not have a driver's license, did not think ahead that we needed to do this, did know we needed a picture ID. So our homeschool group has, you know, a little ID that we print out, and we just stick their picture on it, and we can do it on the computer and print it out, and it's laminated. And so the first time he took the test, you know, they didn't even blink an eye. And the second time, they almost thought they had to come get me, which is really unfortunate because, you know, that does make the kids stress. And, you know, so his score did go up, but not as much as I would have liked. And I think a lot of it was because he was very stressed at that point where they had to pull another person over and look. And finally somebody said, no, he's a homeschool kid and he's only 14. He's not going to have an ID. And then one of the other people said, oh, I remember him, you know, and we were, that was just like a God thing, that she remembered him coming because this was the second time he had taken it. So that's really important that you have that, because even if you had a birth certificate, that's not going to have their picture on it. So do look into that. And I'm going to look into, I'll put some links on the site and see if I can get, you know, directly to those HSLDA or even, you know, somewhere where you can have a little authentic. I know that there was one on Pinterest that I had posted at one point that has information that you can fill in a Word document. So if you have Microsoft Word, you can fill it out and then print it and then just go take it to your local, you know, office place and have them laminate it. So at least it looks, you know, somewhat professional. And, you know, my son's was very professionally done, if I do say so myself. But, it just will depend on who is checking them in. And that's a good reason to go early. And I dropped my kids off, and I was in the parking lot because my daughter drives. And I just sat in my car, and I watched until they went in. But it wasn't until they were in that next step, you know, that ID came into play. So, again, I think that's excellent advice, and it will cause for less stress that day.
Right. No, absolutely. So ID, very, very important. I think a lot of families don't realize that, you know, it could take, you know, a few weeks to get it back if you do go to
right.
DC. So do get that early. So you've got your IDs, very, very important. And then when it comes to the actual supplies that they really need to take, really important that they bring several, and when I say several, I mean four or five sharpened number two pencils. And the reason why you need to bring several is because, number one, mechanical pencils are banned from the test, so you're not allowed to bring those. And so you want to have a few, because if you're writing or you're writing your essay or you're bubbling in or whatever and your pencil breaks, you know, you're not allowed to get up and go sharpen it in the middle. So if you've got, you know, several, it's not a big deal. So bring that. No fountain pens are allowed, or if you bring it and you use it, it will not count. So the machines can't pick up the ink. So only number two pencils are allowed. Definitely, you know, bring a calculator. Even though I do tell you that you can answer every question without a calculator, I don't want students stressing out about that. If you need it, you know, you want to use it, bring that calculator. Most calculators are allowed. The College Board does list on their website which ones are not, but mainly it's calculators that don't do anything but calculating. So, in other words, if they have a keyboard, if they have vocabulary words, you're not allowed to bring those in. Make sure it has fresh batteries. And then, certainly, I think an important thing is to bring a sweater or dress in layers, because so many times, you know, they keep the schools really cold, and what you don't want to do
right.
is be shivering and be distracted by that. So just bring that, you know, bring a snack, bring some water. Just come prepared. And I think sometimes a lot of students will bring earplugs because they just don't want the distraction. And even though there's not shouldn't be any distraction in there, hey, it's better to come prepared. So you might put that on your list. And then when we're talking about the day of the test, like I said earlier, you know, definitely you want to leave early. Anything can go wrong when it comes to traffic. And eat a light breakfast. I mean, you've gone to bed early, you know, you've got your supplies ready, you get up early, and, you know, don't eat something really, really heavy on your stomach. You know, you've got a snack for later, so something other, very light. And I think the probably the biggest thing is don't stress. I mean, it's not the end of the world. You can always take it again and again and again. I mean, like I said, colleges are going to generally just take your highest scores anyway, and they often will take the highest score from different tests to superscore it. So even if you don't quite get the score you want, it's okay. Because if you start early and you've got time on your side, then ultimately you're going to get the score that you want.
Oh, very good. And, you know, and this sounds silly too, but, you know, hydration is really important. I've had afternoons where I just can't think. And I remember talking to my husband one time, and he's like, you know, when's the last time you had something to drink? And I said, really? And he said, yes. You know, he is in the construction industry, and we're here in Southwest Florida where it gets hot. You know, he's had, when he first started, you know, people fainting, or if they had the flu, you know, you can get dehydrated. So anyway, I went and got a, you know, big glass of water and just drank. And so, you know, that I couldn't believe it. I could think again, Jean. So I have my kids do that, you know, in the morning. They are to, you know, drink some water and make sure you go to the bathroom beforehand. And, you know, and they get there early enough so they can even use the restrooms at the school if they need to, and that really just helps. And you wouldn't think that hydration is important, but it really is. So excited. I am, you know, really happy that we have this information out there for parents. Again, Jean is available to come to your area, so look at her website. I will put links on the podcast page as well for that. And again, there is a $10 coupon code that is time sensitive, so there'll be a date on the podcast page as well, collegeprepgenius.com/podcast episode 14. Jean Burke, it is always a pleasure to have you to myself. I feel like, you know, I get these sessions where I get to, you know, pick your brain, and it is so awesome and so happy that you're taking the time out of your busy schedule to do this. So thanks again for coming on, Jean.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks so much for listening to the College Prep Genius Radio Show. You can find more episodes at collegeprepgenius.com/podcast or listen on iTunes, on your favorite podcast app, on your phone, on your computer, or on the go. Remember, visit collegeprepgenius.com for more information, and we'll see you soon.